give one another the tools to think together when it comes to a family and planning for them. What do we always say? Healthy families require healthy bodies. And today we speak to you about diet and breast cancer. Now, it is thought that diet is partly responsible for approximately 30 to 40% of all cancers. However, diet alone is not likely to prevent cancer. There are many other elements involved, such as genetics and environmental factors. Findings have suggested that a healthy diet that includes physical exercise and maintaining a healthy weight can contribute to a decreased chance of developing the most common cancer found in women, and that, of course, is breast cancer. To find out more about this morning, we speak to Dr. Fatima Hussain. She is a specialist surgeon. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Fatima, and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam. Shukran so much for having me here.
Shukran so much for joining us, doctor, and speaking to us about this really, really important matter. I mean, breast cancer is something, yes, of course, that a lot of women, I mean, it's the C word that one fears, and it seems to have become so prevalent. And of course, diet, when we think about what we consume, this is something that we often do have a choice in. Now, apparently, according to research, certain vegetables have been linked to slightly lowering the risk of breast cancer. Perhaps if you can share what...
First of all, when I start talking about this, I just want everyone listening in to understand that everything that we're discussing today is adjuncts to... Mm-hmm. to good treatment. There isn't, unfortunately, anything that replaces, especially if you do already have breast cancer, that replaces good treatment, medical treatment, surgical treatment, oncological treatment. So this is not meant to replace conventional medicine. This is meant to offer people advice regarding various methods that we can enhance our lifestyle and do a little bit to take back into control that our diet, etc., that can improve our chances of not getting cancer. For some people, like you mentioned, there's a lot of different factors that influence the risk of getting breast cancer, and some of those factors, like specifically genetics, we have no control over. Mm. So it's not, we obviously want to offer people something that can help them, but this is purely an adjunct. It isn't like there's the age old, I think Mantusha Balala, who said you can eat beetroot and it will cure HIV. This isn't that case. This is all adjuncts to good treatment.
Okay.
But to answer your, obesity is one of the biggest risks, risk factors we're seeing nowadays in our population. It increases the risk of developing breast cancer. So obviously maintaining a good, healthy body weight is fundamental. And how do we get there? And that is by eating healthy foods. And one of those things is by increasing our vegetable intake. A lot of us are very carnivorous. We eat a lot of meat and not a lot of vegetables. And the vegetables that you should be eating to decrease your cancer risk to a certain degree are the ones that are yellow and the one that looks like flowers. We call them cruciferous vegetables. The cruciferous ones are like things like cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli. The yellow vegetables are things like, squashes, pumpkin, butternut. And they are delicious, and there's many, many different ways of preparing them. Carrots also are excellent a source of both vitamin E and other very important vitamins. And the important question that you ask is, how do they work? And it works by the antioxidant effect. So many of these vegetables contain antioxidants. And what those do is the oxidization that actually takes place. To reverse that process or to halt that process or prevent that from happening. And that's where these vegetables come in, because it's a natural way of incorporating that into our bodies. And what's the best way to absorb them? And many studies have actually proven that a healthy diet, I mean, instead of taking supplements, antioxidant supplements, like in the form of a tablet or something like that, eating these types of vegetables and food that is normal for our bodies to take in are actually better digested and better absorbed. So it's actually, of course, I mean, you're most welcome to take your antioxidant supplements or whatever you're getting over the counter in your little tablet or something like that. But here's a natural, very cheap way to incorporate that into your body. And the absorption is better because it's natural to your body. It's something that it's used to absorbing. It's used to dealing with this sort of foods.
Doctor, I'm just thinking also, yes, you're absolutely right, and thank you for that. Thank you for opening up with that, because more often than not, and I mean, this is what we do. We live in this world of instant gratification. Everything happens very, very quickly, and so we often look for quick fixes, yes, to anything. And so something becomes trendy, for example, and be inclined to fall for these types of things. And so how important is it exactly that one has this very long-term approach to taking care of your body, not just particularly to avoid breast cancer, I suppose to make one's body less of I hear what you're saying in terms of genetics, etc., that plays an absolute role, but to just have your body generally in good health. How important is it to have a long-term approach to this?
I think it's actually the starting point. We don't treat, I'm saying this as a generalization, I don't think we treat our bodies with as much respect anymore. We ignore that long-term, I mean, if you look at the business world, the Ellen Grays and all of those people, they say long-term investment has much better outcomes in the long, you know, in the long term. We usually don't get cancer when we're 20 or 30. We get cancers when we're 50 or 60. Okay, this is obviously depending on the types of cancers, etc. But if you want to prevent yourself from having difficulties when you're older, if you want to live a long, healthy life, your investment has to start at a young age self. I mean, exactly how you pointed out in your introduction. This is about our moms and families and how we look after our families. So we prepare these foods and things like that for families, and there's lots of families who don't believe, the moms don't, or whoever's cooking in the food, they don't incorporate vegetables in their dinner plans or their lunch plans or whatever. So these kids are growing up without vegetables, and then when they are 20 or 30, it's just not something that they eat. But incorporating that at a young age, when they start eating foods, it becomes something that their palates are used to. It's something that is acceptable to their palates. They don't say, oh, vegetables, ooh, yuck. It's not like that. It's something that they tolerate really well. And that is the foundation, the building blocks towards your long-term investment. So to decrease your risk of getting cancers when you're about 50 or 60, ultimately when you're older, when you reach your retirement age, when you actually want to enjoy that time.
Of course.
You want to be healthy and be able to, you know, live. You don't have to work. Your families are grown up and they're doing their own thing. This is your second chance to live and enjoy your time. Can't walk, you have to go for treatment all the time, traveling is complicated because are you going to get your medicine? All of those things are issues. So investing at an early stage is, I think, fundamental. It's the building blocks to your long-term health. And it does pay off.
Yeah, and so I realize also now that we should start off sort of emphasizing that idea that that almost having these knee-jerk type of responses when it comes to any illness, and of course yesterday we are focusing on breast cancer, but when it comes to any illness, that that is of course not as helpful as knowing that one's body is in the best state of health that it possibly can be in terms of also fighting disease, and I would imagine that would be the best starting point for oneself. Yes, exactly. To say that this is, it's not a difficulty to have to consume healthy food, that one doesn't see it as a schlep, that this is par for the course, that this is part of one's pattern of behavior in as far as how one consumes is concerned. Is it then also such a doctor that if one's body is in a better state, I mean, in terms of health-wise and in terms of if one has taken care of it, that something like breast cancer, that one has a better chance of let's say, of fighting it?
It's quite heavy. The people who have gone through breast cancer, some of them will have heard about who've had chemotherapy, they'll have heard about the Red Devil and the other sorts of chemotherapies. People who've had surgery will know how the impact of surgery on their recovery. I mean, it's not something that's taken lightly. It does take time to recover, etc. Wound healing, all of those things require a healthy body. If you don't eat healthily, if your body isn't healthy, you have delayed wound healing. You have a higher risk of complications. We know that. If your body isn't strong enough to tolerate the chemotherapies, you do have complications to that as well. I mean, we cannot complete the regime that we have, and that is prescribed. People have a severe nausea. They have significant weight loss. They don't necessarily do well on the treatments. The response to the treatment may also be impacted. So yes, I think it's the healthier the person is, the more likely they are to tolerate the various treatments, and the better the outcome usually. For most people, there are other factors.
Of course.
We mustn't ignore. There are other factors that play a role. One of those other factors is smoking, which again is not a healthy input into our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't necessarily obviously going to it's not healthy, and it's going to influence your recovery. Look, I think I also am of the opinion that you only live once, so there has to be also a certain amount of balance. You have to enjoy your life as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying to the listeners, guys, go out and only eat your vegetables, cut out anything. Cut out anything that gives you any sort of enjoyment in your life. Never eat a chocolate ever again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. But even the Sunnah says moderation.
Yes.
So you must take into account that the basis of your diet needs to be healthy, and that will allow for the occasional chocolate, the occasional packet of chips,
uh-huh.
the occasional glass of a fizzy drink. Occasional, meaning not every one day you have a Coke, next day you have a chocolate. It's not like that either. But you know what I'm trying to say. But moderation. You have to live, but you also have to
be responsible.
You also have to be careful.
Be responsible. We have to go for a break. And of course also, doctor, I mean, it's something that one always thinks about, that also shift our ways of thinking in terms of what gives us enjoyment. You know, if we're constantly bombarded with ads with regards to what ought to give us enjoyment, then that is packaged, you know, in a fast food type of situation. And so also for ourselves to question that. But let's go for a break, and then we continue after that. On the line with us this morning, we have Dr. Fatima Hussain. She is a specialist surgeon, and she's speaking to us this morning about our diets and breast cancer. Stay tuned to Community Pulse on 100.4 FM.